Thank you for coming back for the second in the series of eight podcasts. I'm Rashawn Winburn, a founding partner and investment advisor with Monument Capital in Dayton, Ohio. This recording is being offered to you in partnership with the Honor Society of Phi Kappa Phi. As always, this is intended for educational purposes, and no solicitation is offered or implied. We encourage consulting your professional advisor before implementing any of the suggested strategies. Today we'll focus on budgeting, also referred to as cash flow or income planning. I will be the first to tell you, this is not my most favorite part of the planning process, yet you will get out of it what you put into it. So your investment in time now and attention to detail in this area can certainly pay off in the long run. If you are currently working with a financial professional, you may have access to questionnaires that will help to facilitate this process. If you need such an item, please do not hesitate to contact me. We have multiple forms, spreadsheets, and software that can help simplify this process for you. However, for the purposes of this podcast, we will assume you are not working with a professional or just want a little guidance in this area. In our last recording, I briefly walked you through determining your net worth and your income surplus or shortfall. Your homework was to develop a goal and to begin charting a plan. So we are going to take a few steps back and delve into the plan by looking at the income analysis or budget in greater detail. Now understand, completing a budget has several implications. The key implications are finding out where your money is really going, if your spending is exceeding your income, and what are the biggest wastes that are derailing your progress to your ultimate goal. So the first step in the budgeting process is going to be to record your spending. At a minimum, you'll want to do this for a month. However, you may find it more effective to track your spending over 90 days to allow for irregular spending or items that are billed quarterly, like some utilities. One way you could do this is by carrying a notepad and jotting down things as you go along. However, with today's technology, you'll find the easiest method may be to use your debit card or credit cards in conjunction with financial software like Microsoft Money or Quicken. A simple Excel spreadsheet will do the trick as well, but the commercial programs are often set up to download your statements and activity directly from your financial institutions. Using your credit card or debit cards helps to make sure all of your transactions are recorded. But don't forget that a credit card is money. You will need to make sure you are paying the balance off at the end of the month. If you already have downloads available from your financial institutions, you might simply work backwards from your past 90 days of spending, making this process a little less painful. Once the information is gathered, you'll want to categorize your spending into groups like housing, transportation, food, etc. Remember, you will get out of this process what you put into it. Details like subgroups might be more effective for you. For example, under food, you might specify business lunches, dinners out, or fast food. Many of the financial programs I mentioned before have these categories and subcategories already set up. Once the information is categorized, determine the percentages and total amounts that are spent in each category. Then ask yourself, what changes should be made and could be made, if any at all are necessary? Track your spending and begin to automate the process of gathering the information and routinely stopping to review your spending by categories. Manage and modify your habits to help you to achieve your desired outcome. And while it is commonly viewed as a negative, in the financial sense and definition of the word, spending can be a positive. How you are spending your money or what you are spending your money on is just as important to the budgeting as just reducing your spending. You could choose to spend your money on acquiring assets. Assets are those items that will provide a future value. Spending $25 on your investment plan is different than $25 spent on a night out to the movies. Sure, we have the pleasure of having viewed the latest comedy, but at the end of the movie, there's no financial value. Perhaps a video rental would have provided similar pleasure and afforded an investment in your long-term plan. So pay yourself first. This rule of thumb is critical to your budget. It's what will allow you to prioritize your efforts to accumulate wealth to have the resources available to meet your future needs. So choose and stick to a personal savings rate. In the past decade, I've seen the average savings rate of Americans drop below zero. Currently, because of the economic turmoil, we are saving more, but not with the discipline of committing to setting aside 5 to 10% of every dollar earned. Note that your personal savings rate is calculated as a percentage of your net income to savings, so it should remain constant, but the actual dollar amount saved will vary depending upon your income. Often we simply consider budgeting as a means to reduce our expenses and to control spending while trying to meet a short-term goal. I'm encouraging you to consider budgeting as a lifelong process that will help you to remove emotions from the spending and help to increase your discipline in managing your wealth. I'd also like to change your mindset that budgeting is always about cutting back. Another focus of the budget could be to identify those areas that offer opportunities for increasing your income. This may be an area where you realize that with a little more energy or focus, you could earn more. And let's not forget that income can be both earned and unearned. Income also can come from passive investments like bank interest, CDs, or dividend income. Also, it could come from an interest in a business. Again, categorizing your sources of income, paying yourself first, and finding ways to increase your income can be more advantageous than simply focusing on cutting expenses. A word of advice to the baby boomers. Consider future income or expenses too. Include planning for retirement income or for the transfer of wealth to other generations. Consider charitable donations, or perhaps you are planning on changing employers or the launch of your own business. Maybe you have a parent in which you will soon need to support. For the boomers, it is becoming the reality that once the kids are out of the house, it's time to take care of grandma or grandpa. For all of us, if you can foresee specific life events and transitions, budget for them now and set aside the money as an emergency fund or an opportunity fund. Here are some actionable items for cutting back spending or trying to save money on what we purchase. These are a few tried and true tips to saving money shopping. While not earth-shattering, they are effective. Create lists to reduce unplanned or impulse purchases. Print coupons or join loyalty and rewards programs so the coupons and freebies are sent directly to you. Write down your prices to learn where to shop for specific items you routinely purchase, and shop around and ask for comparison pricing. But the most powerful thing I think you could do is to put in your vocabulary when shopping for big ticket items the words, "Is that your best price?" or "Is that the best you can do?" You'd be surprised how these questions can bring about immediate savings and offers not previously made available. However, sometimes the most effective way to effect change in your spending is to go back to the basics and keep spending simple. Focus first on your needs versus your wants. If you truly need something, I don't believe anything beyond the common strategies mentioned are going to help. However, if something is just a want and you intend to go through with the purchase, consider this. Everything you spend money on is an investment. What is the $5 cup of coffee going to do for you next week? Or more importantly, in helping you to accomplish your long-term goals. In the end, remember not to complicate things. Keep it simple. A complicated budget is one you won't follow. And in creating the complicated budget, you will have wasted the most precious asset of all, your time. This is Rashawn Winburn, founding partner and investment advisor with Monument Capital in Dayton, Ohio. As always, if you find yourself stuck or just want assistance, give me a call, toll-free, at 888-316-0885. Again, 888-316-0885. Or send your questions to podcasts@mcpdayton.com. Thank you for your time, and I wish you prosperity.